Morning. Good. Morning, everybody. How we doing? Everybody bright-eyed? Good. Get some coffee in here. A couple things. We tallied up the votes for the captains, and this year's captains offensively be Joe Thomas and Jamal Lewis, and defensively be DeQuell Jackson and Eric Barton, and on special teams be Josh Cribbs and Phil Dawson. I think they're all going to do a great job. One of the things that we do every week, and we'll do it today, is we get together. I get together with the captains, and we spend some time, just talk about whatever the issues are of the day, and how we can either address those, or could be suggestions on things that we can improve on, and express to the players that they can use the captains as a sounding board through our meeting, or if they'd rather talk to me individually, that's something I always encourage as well. But I'm really proud of the group of guys that we have. I think they'll do a great job. They've all shown leadership throughout the time that I've been here, and in getting to know them, I think that'll continue and be really positive for us. In terms of today, what we're going to do is essentially follow the same schedule that we would normally follow during a typical week of preparation. There'll be a little bit of advanced work on what we would do tomorrow, and we did some of that yesterday as well because we were able to have the extra day on Monday. But it'll be review, it'll be some new install, it'll be working a little bit forward, but in terms of the things covered, it follows the core pattern. And just expressing to the guys too the importance of getting the work done here, but then going home and making sure that they're following up on the work that we do and come in each day ready for either the new install or to improve on the things that we have to improve from the previous day's install. In terms of the quarterbacks, I really don't have anything to add to what I said yesterday, and hope you can respect that. So with that, I'll open up to questions.
Coach, what's the best thing about Brady Quinn's game?
Well, I think both quarterbacks have a lot of positive things, and what I've liked about both guys is the progress that they've made throughout this, throughout the OTAs, throughout the camps, and Brady's done a good job with improving in terms of understanding not only what we're doing, but also understanding what the opponent's doing, understanding the different tools as well, and I think that DA has done the same, and there were a lot of good examples of that from both guys throughout the camps and I thought especially during the preseason games.
People talk about Brady's leadership capabilities. Do you see that in him? I mean, is he a natural born leader?
I it's hard to identify who's natural born and who's not, and I really believe that everybody has a capacity to lead. I something I sincerely believe in, and it doesn't have to be traditional by any sense. It can be in whatever capacity you feel good about doing it, setting a positive example, bringing some other guys along, and it happens each day after practice, guys doing some extra running, and it may be someone that is normally really quiet, gets a group of guys, hey, let's go get a little extra conditioning. Same thing with tape work. You just got to grab two or three and bring them with you. And how we collectively work during this process is going to shape how we collectively do during the course of the season.
I guess along that same line, the huddle presence, you hear so much about that. These quarterbacks, just talk about what they present there in terms of huddle presence.
Yeah, I know it's sort of a term that is used quite often, and it encompasses a lot of things. What I look for there is, it's not just how they act in the huddle, it's how they operate the offense. So seeing the situation in 2 minutes, understanding what we have to do to be successful in that situation, or it could be in the red zone, being able to recognize what the coverage is and where to go with the ball, and anticipating based on a front we could get this pressure, okay, where I would typically go is here or there. So it's not one specific thing. It's not coming into the huddle with a calm demeanor. It's not coming into the huddle and with a light demeanor. It's not just those things. Those things are part of it, but it's operating the whole system.
One of the quarterbacks said at the beginning of camp that nobody knows what goes on in the huddle except the guys in the huddle. Do you talk to guys about your quarterback's disposition in the huddle?
No, not specifically, Tony. And in the actual huddle itself, when I say huddle presence, it isn't just those 20 seconds that they're in the huddle. And sometimes, shoot, we're in no huddle. It's bigger than that, and I look at the other things associated with it.
So it's things that you can see, not necessarily things you hear.
Yeah, it's not defined in the narrow terms of just when they're actually in the huddle.
Braylon, that's well documented from their 2007 season together. Do you think that Brady Quinn has a similar chemistry with Braylon?
Well, what I'm looking to do, Mary Kay, is that make sure that everybody has chemistry with everybody else. And one of the goals throughout camp in moving guys to different spots and playing guys in different spots was to help develop that chemistry. And so many things are going to change, and you're going to play with so many different guys. You don't want it to be a function of one guy has a certain relationship with another guy and that's the only relationship. I'm looking for us all to have a relationship. I'm looking to have chemistry with the players, and I hope the coaches have chemistry with the players, and the offense has chemistry with the defense. That's important. That's important for all of us.
Yesterday, Favre said that he was receptive last year to sitting down those last five games because he felt he was borderline hurting the team. But nobody in the organization and the Jets wanted him to sit down. Do you have any comments to that?
I can tell you that with that whole part of the season, I made the decisions that I thought were best for the team at that time, and you take all the information in and you move forward with it. And there are a lot of things that I could have done better. There are a lot of things that the coaches could have done better. And there are a lot of things that, as players, we could have done better. And I don't think winning or losing is ever going to come down to one guy. It's a cumulative thing. So, you make the decisions based on the information you have at the time, and you move forward. And that's really where we're at.
The big story in New York today is the fact that Favre never appeared on the injury list. And yet you admitted yesterday, and he admitted yesterday, that he had a torn bicep tendon. How did that happen?
I can tell you that we always fill out the injury report by the guidelines set through the NFL, and that was true there. It's true here. It'll be true every week of the season, and that's how we approach it.
Hey, Aaron, how do you compare Sean Rogers to the two Williams?
Well, it's tough. I think all three of those guys are outstanding players and present problems for offenses. I don't know Kevin Pat personally. I've seen him play. I don't know that part of it. But I think they're all guys that can really disrupt an offense. They all are physical in the running game as well as can create pass rush. I like the way that all three of them, their motors. There's a great clip yesterday from practice where a quarterback ends up scrambling out to our left, and Sean Rogers, the acceleration that he had from where he was to the quarterback, you would have thought he was a sprinter. That's a big man closing fast, and force equals mass times acceleration. So if he gets there, I like that formula.
He doesn't look as big as he did last year. Not little, but...
That's a goal for all of us. that's the ongoing goal in life, I imagine. Yeah, he was pretty fast last year too. I mean, he's athletic.
Looks like he lost some weight. I'm saying, did you want him slimmer?
I think it's pretty comparable. Maybe it shifted. Maybe I'm not dark jersey. You know,
yeah.
Could help him. I'm not sure.
But is he 100% now from that foot injury?
Well, he was limited yesterday in practice, and we'll keep going through the week and see where we're at.
You said he might be the best athlete on the team. Is that a stretch?
He's athletic. I don't know if you're doing the comparison pound for pound. He's pretty athletic. I remember Chris Jenkins when he came in and we were talking to him. He jumped up on the pull-up bar and repped out a bunch of them. I mean, it looked like a 180-pound DB, you know, the way that he did it, and just gifted.
There's a very relevant statistic in the league, and since 1978, teams that start the year 1-0 get to the playoffs twice as frequently as teams that start 0-1. In your 3 years with the Jets, the years you won your first game, you finished above 500. Do you find any relevance in that stat? And how much do you sell out in game one just to go 1-0?
I think all 16 are really important. And I'm pretty sure in New England, that first Super Bowl year, we started 0-2. And we just kept plugging away. And Minnesota last year, I believe, lost 3 out of their first 4. Each year, there's teams that start fast and don't finish as fast, and teams that maybe start a little bit slower and then finish strong. So what I'm looking for is ideally consistency. The first game is a lot of variables.
Is that a statistical fluke, you think? Or do you think there is some relevance in that other than coincidence?
I've never looked at it that way. I'm not sure. What was the percentage?
Teams that start 1-0 go to the playoffs, let's say, whatever the number is, 60% of the team's time. Teams that start 0-1 go 30% of the time.
What happened to that other 10%?
Well, I'm just saying, the key point is they're twice as likely to get to the playoffs at 1-0. I know there's only 15 games left, so there's a mathematical improvement there. You only need to go 8-7 rather than 9-6 or whatever.
I'm not sure on that. I've never looked at it that way. I wish it was that clear cut, and then you'd. But there's a lot of, I look over a lot of statistics, and sometimes they really play like turnovers to me. I think that statistic is pretty lock solid.
What about the psychological lift of 1-0?
I honestly believe that each game is its own sort of body of work, and it's a long season. And there's 15 more left after that point, and you can keep improving throughout the course of the season or not, and been all over the spectrum in terms of success and failure, early or late, start slow, you start fast. It's kind of what you do each week, I think, is the most important thing.
Eric, would that change a little bit? I mean, you've turned over, you got 43% of the roster is new, but that, what that means, though, is you 57% of the guys were here last year and all that, and you're coming into a situation where these guys have, got beaten up pretty bad last year. You go 0-1, and here we go again.
I really, really believe that you can't do anything about last year, and you can't do anything about next week. What gives you your best chance to be successful is focusing right now on this moment and doing the best you can there. And oftentimes what happens is when you start thinking about the past or the future and lose track of what you're working on now, it's when you have problems, and you don't start at 4-12, you don't start at 10-6, you don't start at any of those numbers. You start at 0-0, and how you do is based on the decisions, collective decisions of everybody. And with 53 guys plus the practice squad and the coaches, there's a lot of decisions going on, and they have to be good ones. And you can keep piling snow on the mountain, and you get enough snow, you create an avalanche. But it takes a lot of snow, and you got to keep piling it, or else you just, you just got good skiing.
And that this is your first game for the new job, and you'd like to make a good impression and so forth. On a personal note, what's Sunday morning probably going to be like for you? Are you one of those guys who wakes up game morning and, in a cold sweat, and you forgot one detail, and you go research that detail? What are you like game days, and how would you imagine you'll be on this one?
I usually wake up the same way with this, each one of the different days, depending on the 4 o'clock or night game or early game. I've tried different routines. I've tried all those things. I'm sure like everybody does. But what I like to, one of the things I talk to the players about really early in camp is you can go into a game with a sense of calm if you've done everything you can to prepare for that game. And if you haven't, then I think it's like we've all been in that position in college or high school where you go into a test and you haven't studied as much, and then you're really nervous. Well, you can't do anything about that. I mean, you got to take the test, but you can be ready for the next test. And I'm always asking everybody to make sure that when we go into these tests, you're calm, you're prepared, you understand it. You've studied enough to slow the game down. You've studied enough to make your reactions faster. And when you've done the work, when you've done everything you can to prepare, then you should enter it calm and then play.
To like the 2007 season with the Jets when you were quarterback challenged, do you ever go into a game with the feeling that you did everything that you could, but the opponent was just a little bit too daunting? And I'm asking that in the context that Minnesota has this tremendous defense, and they have Favre, and they have Peterson, and they have Super Bowl expectations, and they're established, et cetera, et cetera. It just seems like this is a pretty daunting game for a Browns team that's trying to come off on 4-12 here.
I go into every game expecting to win, and expecting the players to play well. And I would hope that everybody else does as well. Because if you go into any kind of competitive context thinking that you're going to lose, or you're not going to play well, you've pretty much sealed your fate at that point. And so,
can I ask you one more Sean Rogers question? Do you coach him differently than? You coach other guys, because he has kind of a unique personality.
I think you coach everybody a little bit differently. You try to understand what things work the best for that person. You try to understand how they learn the best, how they. That's a big thing, I think, is understanding how each guy learns and not take a visual learner and only talk to him, not take a guy who learns through doing things and never get them in a walkthrough. And so you try to understand who it is, how they learn, what they respond to, and then put together the best plan to reach them and to help them improve. And another thing is the player understanding how they best learn, what they best respond to, and that takes a lot of honesty, critical honesty.
Well, what pushes his buttons, do you think?
He loves to play. He really does. He loves to play, and I saw that first come in, the motor he plays with, the intensity he plays with. I mean, yesterday's practice, that scramble, when he was finishing, and it's a great example. It's a great example of what you're looking for.
Quarterbacks, we talked a lot about this offseason and through training camp has been the run defense, and you get Adrian Peterson right out of the chute here. Is he just one of those guys that, because of his explosiveness you talked about yesterday, you just kind of hope to contain him a little bit?
Well, you're looking to stop everybody that you can stop, and understand how you have to do that. And as you face explosive players, there's a very small margin for error. And if he can score at any point. He can score with a check down. He can score with a screen. He can score with a run that it looks like you had stuffed inside and suddenly bounces out. So you have to, it's got to be sound across the board. Otherwise, that little crack, he finds it, and usually it goes a long way.
Mike, the last one.
When you first got the job, you talked about, you told your mom, this is the Cleveland Browns, and, you know, you had a seller on that. When you think about going out there on Sunday, is it more special even for you than it was maybe the first game as a Jets coach?
Yeah, I only had the seller when I was in college with all those student loans and taking the job as a ball boy. She's sold now. she'll be up for the game. She comes all the games now. She'll let me know if she thinks I should have called something differently, I get that now. But she's great, you know, 70 plus years old, and she's at everything. So it is special. I mean, it's Cleveland football at home with the crowd. It's an amazing experience, and I hope the guys that are new to this and the rookies get a chance to or understand that, appreciate that. It is different.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.